Well, hey, friends. Welcome to the Everyday Mealmanship Podcast. I'm Ty Evans. Thanks so much for hanging out with me today. I'm hanging out down here in Pinellas, Florida, which is right by Tampa. Just finished up day two of a three-day private clinic. Some great people down here hired me to come do a private deal at their riding stable and work with them and their animals. And anyways, it's a great time, but I wanted to do a little catching up here. It's been a couple weeks since we've done an episode. Before I came here to Florida, just got done with a absolutely amazing semi-private clinic in Sedona, Arizona. It was just awesome. And so I wanted to talk about that and wanted to talk about some things that been going through my mind and some stuff. And anyways, I'm just recording here in the hotel room hanging out. Family's at home and I don't got my mules here. I just flew down here. So anyways, thought, well, I'm sitting around bored. Went to the beach yesterday, checked that box. So I'm just hanging out. Thought I might as well catch up with y'all. So like I said, Sedona, the semi-private clinic down there at Lisa Taka's ranch, was just amazing. I'm loving clinics these days. I mean, I always have. So I don't mean like I'm loving it now and I didn't before, but I'm really enjoying the clinics. Everybody that came to the Sedona clinic, everybody that was there, they're all masterclass students, current masterclass students. And you know, in these semi-private clinics, we start the morning out. You've heard me talk about this in other episodes, but we start the morning out with discussion and questions and conversation topics. I kind of get them primed on day two and three, particularly. Day two and three, I ask them to share the highlights and things they learned from the previous day. So that generates all kinds of discussion. And what's really great about reflecting on highlights and learning moments is that it brings up different things for each person. It never ceases to amaze me that each person has something different. Very rarely do the students have the same exact learning experiences. Usually they're different. Usually they picked up on something, their highlights were different. We're all on our own journeys here. We're all experiencing things on our own path. We might be all doing the same stuff. Like in a clinic, we're all doing the same things, but what we experience is different. And you know, that in and of itself is a great lesson for mulemanship and horsemanship, because it's the same thing for your animals. You might ride five mules or horses today, and you might work on the very same things with each one of them. But I guarantee you, for each of those animals, it's an individual experience. If we were able to ask the animal what their highlight was, what they learned, I wouldn't be surprised to find out that they each have their own little thing, just like people do. So in these semi-private clinics, we start the day out like that, highlights and learning moments. And it really gets people primed. And I was super impressed with the participants in Sedona, because they had some really, really amazing questions and some great conversational topics. Probably my favorite topic that came up was talking about the functions of a bridle bit, specifically some different half-breed bridle bits. If you don't know what a half-breed bridle bit is, just look it up. And you can see what we're talking about. There's all different types of cheek pieces and different types of mouth pieces, but a half-breed bridle bit was kind of the topic, and specifically how they function. We started talking about the sweep and started talking about the balance, started talking about, you know, what is the animal feeling? Where does the signal come from? When does it go from being a signal to a lever? You know, when does that signal change into something that's being used as leverage? And anyways, we had some great conversations about that. We had great conversations about the principles that we teach in all of our clinics, you know. And if you're not familiar with the principles we teach, there's things like, you know, make the right thing easy, wrong thing difficult. We teach extreme ownership, do less sooner. I mean, I got a whole list of principles that we work from. And it was fun to, I wasn't introducing the principles to these students. They already knew about them. They already know the lessons. Between, you know, all of them were repeat clinic participants. So I think the person with the least amount of clinics, it was still their like third clinic. So that was really neat. And that was an experience we had down there to Florence, you know, a couple weeks ago also. And same thing, you know, for multiple clinics these days is we're getting participants that have been to multiples. And what that produces, I found, is a learning frame of mind that, you know, you're not, it's not an introduction to the principles and an introduction to the movements or an introduction to the maneuvers, this type of stuff. The mind is ready and it's primed to dive a little deeper and to understand a little bit more, to, you know, to open the next door. What's behind that? You know, what do the principles really produce? And to me, that is just absolutely a blast to see what the principles can produce and really apply them in multiple areas, you know. One of the topics I thought would be fun to share on the podcast is a topic of time. And this came up down there in Sedona, and it came up, I was talking to one of my coaching students this week. We had all the students that do the coaching, they get to do a private virtual clinic via Zoom each month. And, you know, it's optional. They don't have to do it. And about half of them take me up on it. The other half don't. And that's okay. But, I had one on Monday with one of my students, and we were really diving into the concept of time, you know, how much time to spend on things and, you know, what to do. And so there's a few things that I want to kind of talk about here. You know, something I see a lot, and if you're a longtime podcast listener, you have heard me say this before, but I'm not afraid to say it again, and you're probably going to hear me say it lots more in the future. But as I travel really all over the world, and I'm dealing with people and mules and horses all over the place, you know, honestly, I don't see things that are way terrible or way off or super weird or, you know, like, it's not like people are doing things wrong necessarily. I mean, there's always tuning that we can do. We can always get a little better at presenting and, you know, and positioning and whatever, right? We can always be better. But what I'm saying is I don't see people making all kinds of mistakes with what they're doing as much as I see people, they're doing the right thing. They're just not doing it enough, or they're not doing it long enough. They're not hanging in there long enough. They're quitting too soon. They're moving on too early. They're not being thorough in that exercise or that moment. And this could, I'm not just talking about actually, you know, just moving and doing a maneuver or an exercise. I'm also talking about soak time. I'm talking about leaving them alone. And so this is a topic that has come up. And, you know, in Sedona, our wonderful host, and she's been a guest on the podcast. You've heard me talk about her a lot because she's been a longtime friend and a great student. But Lisa Taka down there, she started a cult last year named River, and she's been doing a fantastic job. She has really prepared this young mule well, and, you know, she's just doing great. I can't say enough good things about what she's doing. But what she was needing more, or the next thing she was really needing, was just a good chunk of time on this animal. And me and Skye were talking as well about her mule Spade. Skye has a mule named Spade, and you know, she just hasn't spent a good long session with them. Now, I'm talking riding all day. Now, I'm not talking about riding all day in the arena or the round pen or at home or around your pasture or your backyard. I'm talking about getting out and spending some good hours in the saddle, whether going down the trail, an engaging trail, right? I'm not talking about a poke down the trail, drink your beer, and sit there on a dude ride. I'm not talking that type of trail ride. I'm talking an engaging trail ride. You spend hours in the saddle, directing movement, focusing on the feet, thinking about things, and just really experiencing the mule. Or going out and moving cows, and same thing with the cattle work. I'm not talking about sitting back in the drag and just poking along and following a bunch of cows. I'm talking about, you know, working some cattle, engaging, participating, you know, getting something done while you're trailing them along. You know, anyways, my point is a lot of people, and the two that come to mind is Lisa and Sky, you know, on these young mules, they really need just more hours in the saddle to get comfortable. And I think this happens, what I'm about to say can happen to the rider or to the animal or to both. There's a lot of people that they work their mule, okay, and they spend just enough time with it to really annoy the thing. They ride just to a point of annoyance, and then they kind of see that some things they're brewing. They see some things kind of rising up a little bit, and they say, uh-oh, and they back off and they quit. And if that's how you leave the mule feeling at the end of each session, you do just enough to annoy them, this isn't going to go good for a long period of time. You know, there's going to be some repercussions pretty soon. All right. So as I'm working, you know, a quote from Brian Newbert really comes to mind. You know, he talks about it's not so much the maneuver and the movements and the footfall and the exercise that the horse or the mule remembers. It's how they feel doing that maneuver, that movement, that exercise, that footfall. It's how they feel when you do it. So, you know, as you're working and as you're spending time with your animals, make sure that you focus on how the animal feels when you're done. Now, that doesn't mean we have to have this low-key, quiet ride. In fact, if you always have a low-key, quiet, gentle, really easy, no drama ride, we're actually not improving. There has to be some level of stress implemented and then taken off, and then let the brain self-regulate. Let them use their coping skills. Let them use all that good chemical stuff they got in that brain. Let them use that. And they come down, they feel good about it, and then you repeat it. A little stress, measured stress. I'm not talking about too much. You put too much on, you'll figure that out real quick, right? They're going to take off. They're going to shy. Maybe they'll shut down. Maybe they'll buck you off. I don't know. But too much stress is no good. But a certain level of stress is appropriate. So as much as we want to go out and have a drama-free ride and have a quiet ride and have everything go good, that is not going to help us. So getting back to the time spent, you know, I was encouraging Lisa down there in Sedona to ride her mule out on the trail. And she kept joking. She said, well, why don't you do it? And I said, you know, I'm not here to ride your mule. You know, and all of you, people try this all the time at clinics. They want me to ride their animal. And I used to ride everything. Those of you listening that have been around a long time, you know I used to ride a bunch of animals. I'd get on lots of animals at clinics, and I'm really trying not to do that because I understand now more than ever how important it is for the participant to do that, for them to come through and do that themselves, because I'm just there for 3 days. And then I go home. It's you and your mule there forever. I go home. I'm not involved. So my main priority, you know, when I'm thinking about strategic goals myself. My strategic goal is to help my participants be better for their animals so they can have continual success after I'm gone. I don't want you just to have success at a clinic. In fact, this might sound really weird to you, but I don't care if you have success only at the clinic. I care that you have success when I leave. I care that you have success when I'm gone next week. When you're home on, you know, your own property, or you're out on your trail ride, or you're out doing whatever on your own and I'm not there, that's where I want you to be successful. That's where I want you to shine. That's where I want you to be great. Okay. I don't care that you show off to me at a clinic and have all the success. Yes, I'll admit it feels good. It's a pat on my back if you have big changes at the clinic, and I do get my fill of it all the time. Lots of success there. But I want y'all to know that I'm not there at the clinic to get instant gratification from your success. My appreciation, my gratification comes when I hear from you next week, next month, next year, and you say, "Hey, I get it. It's working. Look at the success. Look how my mule feels now. My mule's happy now. My mule's coming through. I'm coming through. I'm happy now." That's what I care about. And so when I get a lot of pressure from people that want me to ride their animal or work their animal at a clinic, 99.999% of the time now, I just decline it. However, between Lisa and Sky asking, and me, I just really wanted to see Lisa succeed and be able to get out. Between all that, I said, you know what? I'll ride river. And it was also funny because she was joking. She says, "I'll send you to Hawaii if you just ride river around the mountain." And I said, "Okay, sweet. Which island are we going to?" And I think she was surprised when I said yes. And then she was surprised when I'm like, "No, I'm serious. Let's go." But I was really wanting her to do it. So I strategized and I even faked her out. I haul my saddle down to the arena, and I had first intent, I was just going to ride or use my saddle. But then I thought, you know what? But if he's, you know, when he does really good and we're about 3/4 of the way through, you know, he's doing really good, I'm going to have Lisa get on him. But I know that if it's my saddle on Lisa, there's no way she's going to ride in my saddle if I told her to. So I say, I told her, "Okay, I'll ride in your saddle." She's like, "Really?" And she should have known that was a sign. Because I always ride in my gear, I use my own saddle. I'm pretty particular about that. But I just knew that if I brought my saddle, there's no way I'm going to get Lisa to ride him, even if it's just 1/4 of the way back. So I said, I'm just going to use that saddle. And I didn't tell her these plans. This just kind of happened. And so, anyways, saddle up, get on, and he's just doing awesome. River's doing so great. And we get about 3/4 of the way through the ride, which the ride's about 3 hours long. So, you know, we're over 2 hours into the ride. So, I mean, it's a good chunk of time. And I'm like, "Okay, you're going to get on." She's like, "What?" And sure enough, she got on and she did it. She rode back, and man, you can see the pictures that Sky posted on social media of how happy she was and how good she did. But I haven't checked with her, but I hope that, I mean, this is now last Saturday. I'm recording this on Thursday after, so you know it's not quite been a week yet, but I need to check with Lisa. But I hope she has taken the momentum and kept riding and got that time. But what was interesting is, as I said, you know, what's the longest amount of time you've ridden him? And that trail ride, that even though it was only 1/4 of the ride, you know, maybe 45 minutes or less, I guess. That was the longest time she said she has spent in the saddle, you know, like straight through, you know. Most of the time she's doing the short rides in the arena. And that's okay. Most of the time, that's okay. But, you know, if you're in the same predicament as, like, Lisa and Sky with Spade, Sky just hasn't been able to put a good chunk of time on Spade to really feel comfortable riding him. Just to get past that, to get past the stressful, you know, get past that little hump in the time of, you know, you got to get up there past the summit of stress. You know what I mean? You got to get past that. But like I'm saying, a lot of people, and it might be you listening right now, you ride just until you get to that summit. And before, you know, it's always the hardest, right before you top the summit. It's always the steepest, always the hardest moment right before you're there. But you got to get past that. You got to push past that time. I promise you, once you do, it's a total different feel. If you can ride and put enough time and you get past that, and hopefully you can relate with whatever you're dealing with, but get past the summit, get to that summit and over it, it's so much better. And we just need that time. I was talking to my coaching student I mentioned. It's the same thing. He had been riding his mule, I call it stealing a ride. You've heard me talk about stealing rides before. But we ride around and we don't want to cause any stress. We don't want to cause any trouble. And so we kind of just ride along and, you know, we're careful not to pick at them. We're careful not to do too much because we don't want to upset the mule. We don't want to turn the apple cart over, right? But that's stealing a ride. You're not going to get anything accomplished. In fact, you could have diminishing returns. It could go down for you. Your success could be receding. It could go the opposite. Here you're thinking, oh, I'm not causing any trouble. I'm just going to go for a nice little ride. But it could actually be detrimental. Because what happens when you do that is you ride them around and their stress is just building. Their stress, their annoyance keeps building. Their frustrations keep building. And it's all getting related to you being on their back or you just being, if you're doing groundwork, just you spending time with them. You are being related to stress instead of a solution to stress. So you gotta hang in there. You've all heard ending on a good note. And, you know, we've talked about this being, you could end each, you know, you could think of the whole session ending on a good note for the whole session, ending the day with a good note. But it's also moment by moment that you're striving to find that. But sometimes when you're working some mules or some horses, it's kind of hard to find it in a moment's time. So you got to hang in there. You got to push a little further along. You got to put the time in. I wish everybody had access to the land and to the mountains and to the trails and the miles and the big cow pastures. And I wish everybody had that ability. You know, this private clinic I'm working at right now, it's just a little stable in the city. So there's 10 acres. They have 10 acres inside this big city, this vast city down here. And so they get to ride in their arenas or their round pen or whatever, but that they're kind of limited to that right here locally, you know. And let's face it, it's kind of hard to put in an 8-hour ride in an arena. I'm not saying you can't do it. You can definitely do it. You know, I mean, I've spent many hours in there, but it's not stimulating for you. And when it's not stimulating for you, you will not stimulate the animal. You're going to get bored. And I hear this all the time. My mule's bored. No, they're not. You are. If your mule is bored, you have already been there. And that means you're not engaged. And if you're not engaged, it's hard to be engaging. So you got to do stuff and do stuff that engages you and gets you thinking and you're focusing and you're working through things. And by doing that, your animal will be engaged and focus. You've heard me talk about this principle as well. You know, you need to be what you want your mule to become. So if you want your mule engaged in you, you need to be engaging, right? And engage in them. Think about what they need. You know, if you want your meal to be calm, you need to be calm. If you want your meal to have more energy, you need to have more energy. If you want your meal to have less energy, you need to relax and have less energy, right? And when we're talking about time, you know, think about what you need to be able to figure stuff out. If I give you a problem, and it's up to you to solve this problem, you would like me to also give, with that problem, give you some time to sort it out. Think about it, work through it, get over it, get past it, whatever, right? Well, make sure you give your meal the time to figure it out too. You gotta give them the time to sort through this. And when we're talking about stress, if your meal feels like it's stressed when you're writing and there's some built anxiousness, okay. I just can't say enough. Don't quit so early. You gotta put in the time. You gotta put in the time to let your meal come down. So you need to put in the time and you need to do the appropriate things to help that anxiety and that stress come down. You are doing yourself a disfavor, and you're doing a disfavor to your mule if you just ride and that anxiety builds and you bail ship before that valve gets opened up. Don't do that. You might be thinking, well, I'm just riding until it's too built up and then I'm going to just get out of there before it blows. No, you need to be part of the solution. If you're just riding them until you build it up like that, again, I'll say it, you're part of the problem. You're not part of the solution. Be part of the solution. You need to get past that point, get past that stress point, and be part of the solution and have your mule relate to you on that level of being a solution. I hope my message is coming through, and I hope this makes sense. I really want y'all to understand how important this is to put that time in. And so that might consist of you getting out on a trail ride, and you might need to ride 8 hours. You might need to do 20 miles. And I'm not, you know, we've talked about this in the past also. You know, I'm not just saying, put, you know, wet saddle blankets. No. I'm talking about what you do to get those wet saddle blankets. I'm talking about the time that you're putting in and riding until your mule lets down and relaxes. I want your mule to feel good about the situation, about the day, about the moment. So as I was working out here at this private clinic, this came up a couple times, and I kind of nipped it right away. This morning, one of the participants made a funny joke. Somebody else walked up and said, well, so how's the clinic going? And the participant, she went, oh, it's going great. We love it so much. You know, we're learning so much. And she's like, but, you know, we're having a great time. I don't think the mule's having a great time, but we are. And I said, oh, whoa, hold on. And I said, why would you say that? She's like, well, just, you know, because we're working on this, right? And she's like, oh, did I say something wrong? I'm like, yeah, yes. If we are not helping the mule get in a good frame of mind, if we're not making sure the mule is enjoying these things, and it's about how they feel. You know, enjoyment can be measured in different ways. Some people say, well, you know, it's fun, it's exhilarating. Well, okay, that's not necessarily the same success we're looking for with the mule, correct? So we need to be particular, though, that what we are doing, that the mule is feeling good in that moment. They're feeling good getting through that. And then it happened again at the end of the day today. Two of the participants said, oh, it was a great day. Maybe not for the mule, but for us. And I said, whoa, why would you say that? And they're like, oh, yeah, sorry. Just be positive. I'm like, here's the deal. If you don't just say that, you have to watch your vocabulary, which I need to work on that a lot, right? But you have to watch your vocabulary. Watch what you're saying. Be careful what you're saying. And I said, do you truly believe that? Do you really believe that we had a great day, but the mule didn't? Do you really believe that? And they're like, well, no. I'm like, okay, what would make you think that? Well, because she worked and, you know, we worked on this and we did this and this and this. I said, but how did she feel you know, when we ended each of those moments, when we ended that particular exercise and when we ended the next exercise, how did the mule feel moment by moment, and how does she truly feel at the end of the day? And they're like, well, you know, she actually looks really good. She looks really comfortable, relaxed, and, you know, she's in a good expression and a good frame of mind. I'm like, okay. And I'm like, here's the deal. Here's the deal, and you need to be real about this. If you actually think that she didn't have a good day, didn't have a good session, you did not hang in there long enough to get through it. You didn't stick with it enough. You weren't there for that mule. If that's really how you felt, we got to pull her back out. We got to get her feeling good moment by moment and with each exercise, with each session. Now, this is not easy to achieve on the start, and there's different levels of this comfort that we're trying to achieve. On the start, we're just trying to help the mule learn how to self-regulate, learn how to let down, learn how to use coping skills. So this is them just learning how to come off of stress. And then we build on that, and we progress that aspect of it, and that comes along later on. But my point was, and I was just, you know, kind of correcting the people on this, is that we need to be sure that the mule feels better than when we began. If they feel worse than when they began, than when we started our session, if we leave the thing feeling worse, you know, we're not making the progress we need to make. And that's where the time comes in. A lot of people, again, I'll say it again, they do just enough to annoy them. And it's not enough to be effective. It's enough to just irritate the animal. They build up the stress, they put them away. Build up the stress, put them away. And then, you know, maybe when they first bought the mule, it was great to catch. And like, well, it used to be good to catch. But 2 months later, now I can't catch them. Well, how did they feel at the end of the session, you know? And are you part of the solution or are you part of the problem? I want to be there when they come down. I want to be there for the solution. So that's been a topic that has kind of come up over the last week or two, you know, and a lot of questions about that. And, you know, and we're coming out of winter right now, and I understand that, you know, in winter it's hard to put that big time in. But we're going into the spring. We're going into the summer. And you're going to have more time. There's more daylight hours, and it's going to be better weather. It's going to be so good for you. And use that time to build up those positive experiences and have more positive experiences with the animal. Watch your thoughts. Watch the time you're putting in there. Watch how they feel as you're working. Make sure that you're riding them, you're working them, you're spending enough time with them that they feel good at the end of that session. Not stressed, not exhausted, not worried, not scared, but they feel better than when you began. And that'll be a game changer for you. So anyways, I would love to hear your thoughts on this topic. And, you know, I'd love to hear feedback from you. And I'd love it if you'd leave us a review. If it's not too much to ask, leave us a review on Apple or any other platform that you're able to, or you can always send me an email. My email is ty@tsmules.com. You can find all the information you want about our clinics, our videos, our articles. We have a bunch of free articles, you guys, on my website, tsmules.com. Big shout out to our sponsors making this podcast free for you. We got my buddy Ben Lewis at Roman Home Tents. We got Diamond W Enterprises, my buddy Kevin Wright over there. Colt Saddlery, always taking good care of us. Western Mule Magazine, Mules and More Magazine. Both those magazines are fantastic, and we're so grateful to have all these people, all these companies as sponsors. If you ever see them, if you run into them, tell them thank you for supporting the podcast. Tell them you like the show and you appreciate their support. So, hey, you guys, thank you so much for listening. God bless you, and we'll see you down the road.